Each week when I sit down to plan worship, we follow what is called the Revised Common Lectionary. I've talked of that before. It's a three-year plan laid out by biblical scholars that if you follow it, gives you the opportunity to use all of the scripture in the Bible. Now I say all, they pulled out some of those begats upon begats upon begats pieces because nobody's reading those anyway. But we follow the lectionary. We have now for about 5 years. And it recycles every 3 years. So we're now in what's called year A. And so we were in year A just 4 years ago. And so whenever I'm looking at scripture for a Sunday, I oftentimes will punch that scripture in to my files and see if I've written a sermon before on that scripture. Kind of give me an idea of what have I talked about before, how have I used this, what did I focus on. So this week as I was looking at past sermons that have had these scriptures from Isaiah and Matthew, a sermon from 4 years ago when we were also in year A popped up. And I read it through and I'm sitting in my office reading this old sermon and I'm chuckling to myself thinking, that was a good sermon. I like that one. You know, they're not all like that. Most of my sermons I look at and I go, what did I do? But this one I read through a couple times. And I was like, that's really fun. So I decided to pull it out and bring it up to date. There were some dated references in it and bring it up to date. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna use pieces of it again. So as I'm preaching this today, if I'm saying something, you think to yourself, man, this really sounds familiar. I think he's talked about this before. You're right, I have. So but it's a good message, and I felt we could use it again during this Christmas season. It's about fruitcake. I've never eaten a fruitcake. In my life, I've never had a bite of fruitcake. Growing up, popular culture, cartoons, movies, TV shows, late night talk show hosts, all made fun of fruitcake. It was the gift you received in the mail from that one relative who always sent you one every year, and you never ate it, but every year you got a new one. They were tasteless and dry, hard to chew. I mean, I suppose I've never eaten a fruitcake. That's what my transmedia social upbringing taught me, though, is that fruitcakes are no good. Johnny Carson used to have a running gag every Christmas that there was really only one fruitcake in the world. It was just habitually passed around from family to family in circulation, everyone re-gifting that dastardly delight. Fruitcakes were to be avoided. I mean, I suppose, because I've never eaten a fruitcake. I had to look them up to even understand what was in them. They are traditionally celebratory sweets made for weddings or Christmas. So that next wedding you're going to for that hard-to-buy-for third cousin twice removed, you're thinking, what am I going to get them? A fruitcake. In the U.S., they're packed with dried fruit, nuts, and spices. Starting in the early 20th century, there were two bakeries that began to make them available to mail. It turns out that what you put into fruitcake is a lot of sugar and a little booze. Those things give them an extraordinarily long shelf life. That's what makes them easy to mail, because you know it's not going to go bad. The two bakeries most famous for fruitcakes in the United States started in the early 20th century, one in California, one down south. Both of these bakeries had easy access to nuts. So they added nuts. In Europe, they don't put as many nuts in them, but here the two companies that made them would put nuts in because that was an easy additive. It's where the expression "nutty as a fruitcake" comes from. Fascinating stuff. But I don't care. I have no desire to eat a fruitcake. You see, fruitcakes might actually be delightful. Several people in the early service told me they love fruitcake. They have great recipes for fruitcake. That might be true. They might be delicious. But it is too late for me. For 50 years, I have heard and been conditioned to believe that fruitcakes are awful. I've been taught and shown time and again that they are not the gift you want to receive. It has been drilled into my head that fruitcakes are the bane of the holiday season. And so regardless of any truth in their existence, regardless of their actual worth or value, regardless of how good they might be, it's too late. I don't want fruitcake because I now believe that fruitcakes are bad. As we go through this Advent season, you and I have a gift. Christmas is fun because it's a time of gifts. We get gifts, we give gifts, we share gifts. Who doesn't like gifts? I'll tell you who. The guy that got the fruitcake. That's who. You and I, we have a gift to share during this time of year. The story of God's inbreaking to the human experience. The story of Jesus come as babe in the manger. The beginning of transformation and redemption begun in that stable in Bethlehem. We often look around at this time of year and we lament that more people aren't in our churches, that more people aren't following the Christian faith. But yet, this one month of the year, we look around and you cannot help but see our world is permeated by the story of Christmas. Mary and Joseph, stable and manger, shepherds and angels, this story has seeped into every corner of the world for this month. Our gift is that we live a faith that begins in that manger. A faith of kindness and compassion, of hope and salvation, of forgiveness and redemption. A faith that starts in Bethlehem, goes through Calvary, and never ends. Our gift is faith. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith, the belief that there is more than this. The belief that there is a God and God loves us and redeems us and calls us home. The belief that no matter what the world throws at me, I do not stand alone. The belief that whether or not my journey involves victory or defeat, my God is walking it with me, leading me on my path. Faith is our gift. What a beautiful gift it is. At some point in your journey, somewhere, somehow, at some time, someone gave you that gift. Maybe it was a parent, or a sibling, or a spouse, or a friend, or even a stranger. You were given this gift to hold and carry on your journey, and there were only two instructions when they gave you this gift of faith. Hold on to it and give it away. Someone gave you this gift at some point before today. They handed it to you, maybe in a time of need, maybe in a time of joy, maybe just through practiced repetition. They kept handing it to you over and over and over until finally you said, "Fine, I'll take it." Whatever the case, they gave you a gift that requires you to give it away. To give it to others, to share it with someone else. And so we go out into the world during the time of celebration of the birth of the Christ child in the manger in Bethlehem, a time when the whole world is decked out in festive holiday swag. We go out to share this gift. And unfortunately, far too often, what we discover is that for much of our world, they think we're hawking old fruitcake. We go forth to share this wonderful gift of hope and love and joy and peace, and we find that some don't want it. Some don't want it because they believe it to be old and dry and tasteless and worthless. We try to give it away only to find that some will take it wincingly, but then once our back is turned, they simply discard it, unwilling to hold on to it for too long. The faith that we cherish comes across as this old fruitcake, unwanted and rejected by the world. Even as they celebrate the birth of the Savior who started this faith. How did this happen? Well, we did a lot of it. If we're being honest, a lot of it is our fault. For far too long, we've allowed our faith to be viewed as fruitcake. They've heard the message too many times over and over. It comes out a little nutty. Little stale, something we just keep on the back shelf until the holidays roll around. If we're being honest, we know that far too many of our brothers and sisters in faith use their faith as a weapon, a cudgel to beat the masses with, a mace to flail at the world when it hurts us or ignores us. How many times have I met with a young couple eager to begin their journey as husband and wife, only to discover that because they come from different strains of the same faith, they're unwelcome to marry in their respective church homes? He's a Baptist, she's a Catholic. Neither cleric nor community will take them until somebody converts. The argument being, well, you have to convert to our way because their way is the wrong way and we have the right way. And if you don't want to do it our way, then we don't want to do it no way. How many times have a couple with just an inkling of faith in their back room cautiously entered a house of faith for the first time in what, years? Maybe ever? Only to discover that if it's God's blessing they seek as they start their life together, they're going to have to pay for it. Or join. That's the other gun we hold to their head. Oh, we'll do it for less money if you join. How many times have I stood in a hospital room or a hospice room or a bedroom and seen someone taking their final steps on this earthly journey and offered to pray with the family only to see out of the corner of my eye one of the family members slip into the hall? Because as painful as these final moments might be, faith has been a bruising battle in their life and they want nothing to do with it now. How many times have I seen brothers and sisters in our faith stumble into a room brandishing their faith like a loaded handgun discovered at the back of Father's closet, waving it to and fro, not caring who might get hit with it or who might get harmed? This faith which finds us and fills us, this faith which saves us and sets us free, this faith which raises us and redeems us, this faith which has been the light in the darkness to us over and over, this faith that heals us and makes us whole, this faith which completes us and comforts us, this faith is what we are called to share. This faith is a gift we are called to give. This faith which paints a different picture of our world, which paints a picture of a world where the first are last and the last are first, where the king is born in a stable and dies on a cross. This faith that tells us the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. This faith, this gift we carry, is not painting a picture of an alternate reality. It is painting a picture of God's intended reality, and we get to share that with the world. But not if they think we're just handing them old fruitcake. We must do better. We must share this faith. this faith that we have found full of joy and peace. We must share this faith that we have found full of hope and joy and not condemnation or critique. We must share this faith and find it full of righteousness and redemption and justice and kindness and caring and humility. And when we do, the world will discover that it isn't old fruitcake we are offering, but something new and beautiful and worthy. Jim Owens has a secret. His sister makes a delightful, delicious white fruitcake. He told me about it. He said it's amazing. Every year she sends him one. And he takes it to the Christmas party out at Lakeview. But before he does, he takes it into his apartment. He cuts it into thin diamond-shaped pieces and arranges it in a festive holiday pattern on a nice plate so people won't know what it is. It doesn't look like fruitcake, so people try it and they love it. Jim has never brought any home from the holiday party. The people eat it all gone. They can't get enough of it. And Jim just sits back and smiles. Never lets on. What he has given them is fruitcake. Because if he did, many people wouldn't even try it. They would just reject it out of hand. We do not have to enter the room swinging our faith like a weapon, like a Pharisee or a Sadducee, seeking to hurt and divide and conquer. We can come in kindness. We can come in love. We can offer our faith with concern and support. We can offer it as a joy and a hope. We can offer it as a fruit worthy of repentance. And see how people take it then. When they no longer see it as fruitcake, but as a beautiful gift of grace and love that speaks of a baby born on a tender night long ago. Amen.